3, 2, here we go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this issue of, what are we calling this now, Roger? I don't know, a little Southern Social Media.
Let's roll with that, Southern Social Media.
Southern Social Media, as of this morning, I was listening to the Internet Business Mastery Guys. What are their names? Seth and something. Oh, I'll look them up later. Give them credit. Listening to him at the gym this morning. And but anyway, as usual, I digress. Welcome to this issue of the Southern Social Media with Roger Bauer, owner and founder of SMB Consulting, the social media ninja, and Wes Schaefer, the sales whisperer. Roger's got a bunch of stuff to talk about, and I'll be the sniper sitting on the side, chiming in probably when he doesn't want to. So anyway, Roger does
now,
have
first,
control.
First, I would like to commend you for finding Internet Business Mastery. It's a really good podcast. They share a lot of really good stuff. I've been following those guys for over a year, maybe a year and a half, and I've gotten a lot of stuff from them just from their podcast. So hopefully,
well, that's how you got so smart.
Yeah, that's right. They all their knowledge is by osmosis has come into my brain, and now I'm ready to share it with the world.
All right, very nice.
What I'm hoping is, and I think you're hoping for the same thing, is that this podcast series becomes very similar to what they're doing in that people get a lot of really good information and eventually figure out that we're just two good old Southern boys that want to help them grow their business through social media and internet marketing, autoresponders, all the internet marketing fun stuff.
Right. That's it, brother.
Anyway, I was looking at TwitScoop earlier, and I haven't been able to watch a lot of the baseball game, but you can tell Derek Jeter must have done something because he's pretty prevalent in the TwitScoop, what's buzzing right now. Also, Apple, something must be going on with them. They must have had a stock announcement. I don't know. I'm just going off the TwitScoop, which just gives you a little running thing of what's going on. Angels, Apple, Newsroom, Nicholson, iPhones, Tyra, Yankees, and Whedon, W-H-E-D-O-N, whatever that is. That's what's hot right now, according to TwitScoop.
All right, so you're looking at Twit, TwitScoop.com, right?
Right. And I've got
now,
that.
How is that different from Stuff to Tweet?
Out Stuff to Tweet. It might be one and the same.
I think it's one very similar. So just showing what's hot out there, what people are
right.
talking about.
And I've got a little column in my tweet deck that shows me this stuff, so that way I can see what's hot right now. And people always ask, when I get on Twitter, what should I talk about? Well, you can jump in the conversation of what everybody else is already talking about if you've got something to contribute. Go out and find,
okay.
Do a search.
Hey. All right, hold on, back up.
Yeah.
So you've got TwitScoop in your column on TweetDeck?
Yes.
Well, I hadn't even thought of that. Pretty dang smart. Kentucky Headhunters coming through with more good knowledge.
That's right.
All right, I'll have to set that up. Very cool. All right,
yeah.
Anyway.
So that's something that you can do if you want to tie into what's hot right now and start conversations with people. If you know something about Derek Jeter or maybe you follow the Yankees or you follow baseball, you can chime in and talk about that. If you've got an iPhone, since that's a hot topic right now, you could jump in and talk about that. Or maybe you have an Apple computer. Wes, I know you got one. You might want to, you know, if you were looking for something to talk about, there's your opportunity. You've got an Apple computer. You could probably jump out there and talk to somebody about their Apple and start a conversation. Their followers see it. Maybe they're not following you. They discover somebody new. They start to follow you. So there's a nice little tip of the day that doesn't require a whole lot of thinking or work.
Something, too, that people that shouldn't be lost here is the fact that what we're saying is to just simply get started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Most of the things you will learn on social media, most of the things you'll learn about internet marketing, marketing in general, you learn by doing, by rolling up your sleeves and getting busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't tell you how much I've learned in the last year. Really in the last 6 months, not only on social media, but on using the internet, building websites, search engine optimization. I've always known a lot of those in theory. I've gotten my hands dirty in the last 6 months for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to get in there and do it. You know, the only other option is to pay people a lot of money to help you do it. And most people don't have a lot of money. So get in there, you know, use this Twit Scoop, use stuff to tweet, set up Google alerts, set up alerts, you know, through your hashtags we'll get into later on, through Twitter, see what's happening, and keep up on the conversation. But still, I think what you said was important. You know, say something relevant. You know, you said if you've got something to contribute to the conversation, mm-hmm. do so.
Yeah, don't, so, don't you call what, your live workshop Join the Conversation?
Capitalizing on the conversation.
Capitalizing on the conversation. Well,
the internet is still about content. You know,
right.
It always
and
will be.
Those conversations are already going on. And I think that's something else that we need to drive home with people is if you think that this stuff isn't going on just because you're not a part of it, well, the conversation's going to go on with or without you, so you might as well join in and either learn something, contribute something, or develop a relationship with somebody. I mean, it's very easy. If they're already talking about this stuff, they've got an interest in it. So if you chime in and contribute something of value, they'll take notice of you. And that's how social media can help you generate awareness, build relationships. It's not going out there and just constantly talking about your product or your service or what you are doing. Go look at what other people are doing, what they're talking about, listen, and jump in where it's appropriate.
Well, and the thing is, too, jump into what interests you.
Right.
You know, you and I have got a client, you know, who I'm talking about, when we say he's all over the map, thinking social media is the cure-all, the end-all. He wants to be this
right.
internet marketer. You know, I got a call from a real estate broker that wanted help with getting into internet marketing, information marketing. And come to find out, he's got 15,000 real estate agents that he's got contact information on.
Wow.
And I'm saying, hey, man, why do you want to go reach out to – people, why do you want to attract, build a list the hard way when you've got 15,000 people sitting there that
right.
already trust you? Now just figure out what they want and need and will spend money on and give it to them.
Right.
You know, it was like this epiphany, right? I remember when I was a stockbroker many, many lifetimes ago, all the doctors wanted to buy the hot stocks in the technology world, right, in the late
mm-hmm.
90s. And all the techies wanted to buy the latest biomedical, yeah, you know, Pfizer and Cialis and whatever stocks. I'm like, dude, stick with what you know.
Yeah.
You know, golly, blossom where you're planted, right? I mean, I hate to
Yeah, and that's the conversation.
You know,
I know exactly
come around.
Yeah, I know
real.
Exactly what you're talking about on the client situation there, and it's mind-boggling that he wouldn't want to get into what he already knows and what he's already good at, but I think that ties into exactly what you're saying is people view social media as, that's my cure-all. That's the magic bean, and it's not. I mean, it's not the magic bean. You want to use it to pour gasoline on where the fire already is. Not go try to start another fire from scratch. I mean, that just doesn't.
I always say, you know, I'm looking for the guy looking for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, go where they are and just kind of hang out. Eventually, somebody's going to discover you.
All right. So what else is in the news, my brother?
Well, so you were asking me earlier how we could tie into another client, how we could tie him into the mom's group, because that's not necessarily his target audience or his sweet spot.
Right.
And I think the easy answer to that is you got to step back and ask yourself, okay, so these are moms. What are moms typically? They are typically wives of business owners, CEOs, CIOs, not all the time. I mean, it doesn't mean just because you're a mom, you're married to a CIO or a CFO or some big business tycoon, but these people network like crazy. I mean, the moms group is one of the most passionate ones on the internet today, one of the biggest utilizers of social media, and they've got their little cliques all over the place, but they're all very loyal to one another. So if you can tie into that and just become part of their conversation in passing, and let's say their husband does mention a fact at dinner that they're really having this issue with, say, technology, then the mom, or the wife in this case, may have some information that can help him. And he's not even expecting that outlet to come up because he's just thinking he's having a conversation with his wife, just talking about his day, having trouble with this. You know, our server keeps bouncing, or we got a router issue, or our switch just it's having some issues. We really don't know how to fix this. Our IT guy is just, he's totally puzzled by this. He doesn't know what to do. Well, she comes to him at dinner, or maybe they're out at a play, or they're out at, you know, some event or something, and this comes up in casual conversation. Bingo. That's how you tie into the mom's group. You just go, you be there, you kind of listen to what they're talking about, and if you have something to contribute, just like we were talking about earlier, you go contribute it. Somebody will take notice out of that group, especially with that group, because it is so passionate and loyal to one another because they've got that common bond of being a mom, that's how you take social media to the next level, even if it doesn't appear at the beginning that you have something in common with those people.
Well, it gets back to what I've always covered in my training since, goodness gracious, I don't even know, want to know how long. You deliver a powerful message in a powerful manner, and it'll find the right audience.
Right.
Now, the internet lets us really target, you know, and by all means, you want to segment as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, focus on quality. You know, deliver a strong message, and it'll get found. I mean, it'll find the right person. So, very cool. We're going to be doing some
IT. Yeah, I think that also ties into that strategy issue that we talked about yesterday, is that if you go out and you work on your strategy before you ever get started on this stuff, then you'll step back enough to say, okay, I don't have anything in common with these moms, but I know that these moms are one step away from people that I do want a connection with. So
right.
That could be part of your strategy. And I've got another client right now that's asking me about a specific industry niche, and that's the conversation we're having is, okay, what are some of the external networks you can tie into that are maybe one step away from the real target that you want?
Right.
And it's been an education of sorts because it's like, well, why would I want to tie into them when my real market is right here? Well, if you get one step away, that's what you want. You want to kind of surround your target market from as many angles as you can get, so that way when the decision time does come, you're the logical conclusion. Because all these other people are saying, you need to go talk to him, you need to go talk to him, you need to talk to Wes, you need to talk to Roger. And then you get enough of those people saying that, because the most powerful network out there is the peer network. People trust peer reviews 78%, where they only trust advertising 14%. So if you
advertising a lot better.
Well, that's probably true, but at the same time, I mean, if you can tie into that peer network, that's where you want to be, and that's where social
right.
media can help deliver you to that group.
Right. Hey, what the hell's wrong with Facebook? Facebook acting up on you?
Let me look. I know Twitter was
updates right now. It's,
yesterday I couldn't get into Twitter for 2 or 3 hours.
Oh yeah.
Shut my day down.
No,
Facebook's fine.
You probably got stuff done.
Yeah, I did.
Oh my goodness!
I went right into Facebook, no problem.
So, talk about. Were you the one that told me the other day about Twitter Local?
I talked about Google Local or local search.
No, Twitter Local. Man, I'm going to teach you another one, dude. I'm 2 for 2 today. Mark this down. What's the day? Must be in like a Saturn in line with Uranus or something. So bringing good vibes today.
Yeah. A buddy of mine used to always say your moons are aligned.
Yeah. So Twitter Local, check it out. You've got to sign in, but it'll let you help you see everybody within a certain radius of the zip code you put in.
Right.
And so if you're trying to build a local presence, you know, it's a good way to do it. Because you can go and, you know, follow those that are local to you. And, you know, the Twitter etiquette is that they follow you back, right?
Right.
So,
they should, unless you're like Terrell Owens where you have 280,000 followers and you only follow like 200 in return. That's that's what I would refer to as a Twitter snob or a Twitter elitist.
Well, you know, and I've got my own opinions on that as well because, I mean, let's get realistic. Let's say you've got 300,000 followers and you spent 3 seconds, times three, you spent 3 seconds looking at their stuff, that'd be 900,000 seconds. So divided by 60, that's 15,000 minutes divided by 60. It's, times 60. Ugh, went and messed my math up. So 900,000 minutes divided by 60, right? That's 15,000 minutes divided by 60. It's 250 hours. 250 hours just to spend 3 seconds on 300,000 people's Twitter updates.
So right, but I would counter with that. I would ask you, each person supposedly has a first-level network of about 250 direct contacts, right?
Sure.
How often do you speak with every one of those 250 people? It's probably not that frequent.
Well, I've got unlimited minutes on my iPhone, so I talk to everybody all the time.
Now, that could be the case if people tune into this podcast. We could talk to our 250 people all at once. We're blasting out a message and encouraging them to come back with their thoughts on the back end, which is kind of similar to Twitter. But at the same time, you don't talk to each one of those 250 people every single day.
Well, I'm not even saying talk. I'm not even saying talk. I'm saying to even just skim what they're doing. Spend 3 seconds. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's funny. People say, oh, he's a Twitter snob. And, like, you know what? It's reality. You know? There's more people trying to reach Donald Trump than he's trying to reach
individuals. And I think that ties back into the strategy, too. You got to decide, do you want to be one of the most popular people? Do you want to be an authority figure? Or do you want to build relationships? Those are the three main things you can do with social media. So if you want to be popular and just be everybody's friend, well, then you know, you're going to want to return the follow to everybody. And that's kind of the approach I take. Because I never know when somebody's going to say, hey, I need some help with either social media, internet marketing, search engine optimization, autoresponders, whatever. So I want to be at least in the neighborhood if they decide they need help with that type of stuff. And I want them to also think, Roger's a good guy. That's not to say out there.
Are you saying you'll be my Huckleberry?
That's right. I'll be your Huckleberry. But I never know when Wes is going to need one of those types of services, or one of their friends is going to need help with those types of services, and I want to be at least in the conversation. Now, if I were wanting to be an authority figure, and let's say I've got, like Terrell Owens, I've got 280,000 people following me because they're interested in what I got to say, and my whole objective is I want to be viewed as the authority in my particular industry or niche, so I don't follow that many people back. I'm very selective about who I follow back. Well, let's say Wes is over here having a conversation about needing help with all of these different things that I provide a service for. I have no idea that Wes is even talking about it because I haven't returned the favor. I'm not interested in what Wes has to say. Even though Wes is interested in what I have to say because I'm interested in being the authority, well, I'm missing an opportunity potentially, especially if Wes is out talking about all of these things on a daily basis or on a frequent basis. I'm missing that conversation because I want to be the authority. I don't want to be friends with everybody. So you see the difference there?
I feel you.
I mean, it's just a different approach. It depends on what are your long-term goals, and mine are different from, obviously, Terrell Owens. I really don't know what Terrell Owens' strategy is with his Twitter other than
right.
to get more people to look at him, because it's obvious that's what he really gets off on, is people paying attention to him and him doing his antics and either cracking people up or being divisive or being a extravagant personality and all of that stuff.
Well,
but my goal is different with Twitter, and that is to be friends with people, learn about what's going on with them. No, I can't follow. I've got 4,300 some odd followers. I can't follow all those people in a day. I mean, I'm not trying to tell people that that's even possible. There's no way I can keep up with all of that stuff. But at the same time, if I do decide, hey, I'm going to really pay attention today for an hour, I can learn about what's going on in these people's lives and step in when I see something that's, hey, I can tie into that. Or let's say they say I'm having a real problem with Infusionsoft, since we're both CMAX. I might see somebody say, I'm really having problems getting this follow-up sequence set up. I can then tag them right then, send a little follow-up to them and say, hey, I notice you're having problems with getting an Infusionsoft follow-up sequence set up. Can I help you?
Yeah.
But if I'm not listening, I can't possibly find that opportunity.
That's completely true.
So it depends on what are you comfortable with, what are your long-term goals, what is your strategy for social media and Twitter in particular, since that's what we're focused on today.
So what
do you want to be?
Give us those three you said. So you could be popular.
You want to be popular. You want to be friends with people, which Terrell Owens falls into the popular. I mean, even though he's taking the authority approach, to where the authority approach is, I am the authority, people will listen to me, I'm not going to listen to them, I'm just going to blast out my information, and they can consume it when they so please. That would
right.
be the authority person. The friend person is, hey, I want to learn about as many people as I possibly can, in hopes that someday I may be able to help them or they may be able to help me. The popular person, they may follow some people back, but realistically, they just want to turn it into a popularity contest.
Right.
So the popularity
the,
and the authority
cool
are similar. Yeah, but the goals are different. The goals are different with an authority person versus somebody who wants to be popular.
Right.
Whereas Terrell Owens, I'm sure, Ashton Kutcher, prime example, doesn't follow anybody back hardly, but he's got 3,900,000 followers.
Right.
So it's about being popular to him. And
so what do you think about Sarah Palin jumping on LinkedIn?
It would depend. Well, I mean, like him or not, and I know a lot of people don't like Barack, but Barack really did use social media to his advantage throughout his entire campaign.
Right.
I mean, he was set up on Twitter. He had a blog. He had Facebook. I mean, he went the whole nine with the social media, and he really macked out his profiles. I mean, he made them really nice looking, attractive, encouraged people to either donate or get involved. And I think social media, I don't have stats to prove it, but I think social media went a long way to getting him elected, whether people like him or not. He was one of the first politicians to really jump on this social media bandwagon and take advantage of it. I mean, it's one thing just to be there, but it's another to figure out how to take advantage of it and use it to further your cause. And I think he
right.
did a really good job of that, whether you agree with his policies or his approach or anything else, you can learn from that.
Right. So is she late to the game, or is she early to the game for influencing? Obviously, we got elections coming up next year, the midterm,
right.
and then she'll probably try to go for president again. So, smart
move. I think
it's
a perfect time for her, because what do we got? 3 more years until we have another presidential election. It's much better for her to start building this following now and getting connected with people now than it is, let's say, she starts in, what's it going to be, 2012, we have another election?
Right.
I had that's a funny story, let me get back to that in just a second. But if she were to wait until, let's say, 2011 and start to do it, then she'd be too late to the game. But now I think is a perfect time for her to get out there and start doing this. And if she, maybe she hates Barack, maybe she totally disagrees with him, but if she were to study what he did and duplicate a lot of that, I think she's in perfect position to duplicate a lot of his success.
Right.
But I was going to say that I had a client come to me, or a potential client. I didn't end up working with them because they were too late to the game, but they approached me back in 2000, I guess it was last year, I guess it was 2008, and it was a guy that was running for senator in Kentucky, won't mention any names, but they called me in March of 2008, wanted me to help them get a higher search ranking by November. That's us. So you're way too late to the game. You should have been doing this 2-3 years ago, building your campaign then. And their whole response was, well, can't you just flip a couple switches and get us up there to the top ranking? I said, no, it doesn't work that way. And then I also mentioned...
You said, give me $500,000, and I'll flip.
Yeah, and I'll work tirelessly for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we might get you there.
Might.
But then it might be too late, too little too late anyway, because people have already made up their mind by that point, and people have already been doing the searches and doing the research and doing their background work on these politicians to see who they want to vote for. So I told them, I said, now if you decide to run in another 2 years, you need to start now on your campaign for then. Don't
right.
wait until that year and say, okay, let's start a social media campaign or let's start one of these search engine optimization campaigns. The time to do that is 2 to 4 years out, depending on when you want to run.
Well, I agree. And, but you know, that brings up a great point. See, that's why we work together, man. It's just a symbiotic relationship. And I don't really know what that means. I'm going to Google it later, but I think if I use it properly. I'm working with a guy. I've known him several years. I've been telling people for years, if you've been in business, well, in Southern California, really, since about 95, 96, after the last real estate downturn recovery, things started picking back up around 96, I would say. But certainly, if you've been in business since the dip of 2001 after 9/11 attacks, I've been telling people, you don't know how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The economy was so good.
Certainly a lot of people had it easy.
Certainly in Southern California, people just had stupid money. The market here in Southern California, it tripled in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And now where I am in between San Diego and Riverside, prices are down as much as 62%.
Right.
Okay. So people are having to learn how to market, how to sell, and the weak ones are going away. But I'm working with a guy right now. Actually just gave him the paperwork today to sign. I've known him for years. And he said, you know what? Our business has just grown by word of mouth. They've been in business since, I think he said 2000, maybe 2001.
Yeah.
So somewhere, I think 2000. So 8-9 years in that time frame. And business went from, you know, brand new, open the doors, up until a little over $1 million in top line revenue. And with a company of only like 6 or 7 employees, that's good money.
Mm-hmm.
And now, their revenues are off almost 35%. So they're
right.
at break even. He tells me, he says, well, I don't have any money to market. And I'm like, well, why don't you call the moving trucks then? You know? And they're like, what? You know, I said, look, man, I mean, it's either time or money, right? You've got to do something and put yourself out there. He has no social media presence, doesn't know how to work the phones, has never done any mailers whatsoever. Now he wants to put on workshops.
Wow.
So you're just going to snap your fingers and put on workshops? How interesting.
Uh-huh.
So we ended up negotiating because he is low on funds, but he's got a very good business. He's got very good clients that with the potential for good referrals, for good testimonials, and long-term residual income. The type of service he does, he gets clients for years. and they pay every month, which is very cool. So we negotiated a very small upfront fee in return for 15% of ongoing business growth. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't take credit for any business he has already, but anything we generate together as a result of building a social media platform, of these workshops, conference calls, whatever, everything we can do that we can track online, which is the cool thing of social media and the internet, is that you can track it. Like as he was saying, you know, I've done advertising and marketing a little bit in the past, but I don't know, I had no way to track it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what worked and what didn't, right? And so that is the problem. That has been the problem of traditional marketing over the years, and still to this day, because so many small businesses read the books that are written by the big businesses, and the big businesses have big staffs, big budgets. They can advertise and market differently. They can build a brand. They can be more creative and afford time, and can afford, they can absorb bad ads,
mm-hmm.
Whereas small business can't.
Yeah, they can afford to make mistakes because there's more money where it came from.
And they don't have to make mistakes, but they get caught up in creativity and winning awards at these
right.
stupid advertising things. You know, you want to show me if your ad's any good? How much money did it make?
Exactly.
How much did sales increase as a result of that campaign? And if they didn't, get out and go do something else. Make me
right.
another ad that does work. So the beauty with social media, pay-per-click, on and on, I mean, you can see very quickly how effective your efforts are.
Right.
And so, you know, small businesses should take, should be emboldened by that, you know,
Ooh.
And take comfort in that fact.
Well, that is a word.
How do you like that? That's, man,
that's
like, how many syllables is that? I can't even count that high.
Well, that ties into something else, and I think this is a point that shouldn't be missed on small business owners or just sales reps or people that are trying to grow sales for a business. There were more millionaires made after the Great Depression than any other time in U.S. history.
Right.
And we're in a similar position right now to where we're probably going to exponentially go above and beyond what they did back then because times are bad. People are going to figure out how to make money. And I'm not saying social media is the magic pill because that's the message we hammer home to people is it's not the magic pill. But if you can figure out how to market and advertise efficiently and not spend a lot of money and get your word out and get heard above all the nonsense, all the clutter, all the chatter, all the screaming, all the garbage that's out there, then you're eventually going to win. Now, you may not win tomorrow. You may not win in a month. But if you can consistently, as you always say, Wes, and persistently be there when people are ready to buy, when they're ready to start researching what they're getting ready to buy, then you're going to win over the long haul. It's not going to be who's got the most ad dollars.
Right.
Yeah, those people have an advantage because they can go out and run all of these recognition type ads or institutional advertising stuff. They don't need to do direct response marketing the way we do because we've got to have somebody ring the cash register. We've got to have somebody become a lead or a prospect for us. So to waste money on institutional advertising or institutional branding or things of that nature, just where you have a recognition score or whatever, it's not going to do us as much good as it might do a Procter & Gamble or a GM or a Ford or somebody like that that's got deeper pockets, which, interesting,
right.
we talked about yesterday that Ford's spending 25% more on social media, so that should tell people that think that it's all about, oh, I just need to blast my message out to as many people as possible. They're starting to engage their customers more. They're starting to listen more. GM's also done that. So that should also be an indicator to people if you're not up on this social media stuff.
Hey, you know who else is doing it?
Who's that?
The TSA. The Transportation Safety Administration.
How about that?
You know, folks that know me know that I'm not a big fan of government in general. And certainly traveled enough You know, I got that Friends Fly Free thing on Southwest. I flew so much. Gold on the West. Platinum with Marriott. Present. And I've been delayed by enough TSA agents that we're not going to catch a flight. to make sure that this 6'2" Caucasian wasn't a terrorist, and take my toothpaste, you know, because it could be something, I don't know what. Anyway, I digress again. So this lady puts this blog up the other day that the TSA stole my son. And, I mean, she's a basket case, dude. She's talking about how she's breaking down, blacking out, popping Xanax because they carried her son away because he had a metal pacifier, right? So I blogged about it on one of my other blogs. And, dude, I kid you not, like maybe 2 hours ago before this, today, I got a comment from blogger Bob from the TSA.
Huh.
And because after reading this woman's blog, I blogged about it. I said, you know, that damn TSA, look at them, what they did to this poor woman. And so blogger Bob has the video from 9 different camera angles showing this woman going through the metal detectors.
Right.
And they never took her son. Okay, so I amended my blog, did a little more research into this woman, and she's just a nutcase.
Right.
But the TSA, not only online, now here we are talking about it, giving them props for doing a good job.
Right.
You know, and not letting the blogosphere run them down.
Mm-hmm.
Without them earning it,
right?
So, I mean, very interesting. So even the government, and, you know, it's a great example of the listening, right? I think you mentioned earlier, you know, that's one of the big things that businesses can do with social media is to listen.
Right.
And so with things like Twitter and Google Alerts, you can monitor your quote-unquote brand, your business, and see what the community's saying about you, and respond accordingly, and in a timely manner, as they did.
Mm-hmm. And it also shows
catching up.
Right. That also shows that if you are paying attention to the conversation, and you have some nutbag that runs some slander piece on you, that's got an agenda, that's trying to make somebody out to be something that they're not, you can catch them. And you can manage your reputation online through social media, just like you said, through Google Alerts and setting up these listening devices, Twitter and things of that nature. But you can counter those attacks, if you will, and put somebody in their place if they totally slander you or something else.
Yep, so that's what they did. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I've even read where I think it was Tony La Russa. Somebody set up a bogus Twitter account with his name, and he was going to sue him. So that's another avenue that, you know, if you're paying attention to what's going on with social media and somebody's trying to steal your identity or misrepresent you or something else, there's things you can do with that too. Because I hear a lot of business owners say, well, I don't want to get into that. I'm afraid somebody's going to come in and either tarnish my reputation, steal my reputation, or brand themselves as me and be a false voice for my company. Well, there are steps you can take on that just as well. So if that's one of the things that's holding you back, I would say that's not a legitimate reason, especially today, because, I mean, the government, just like you said, Wes, they're onto this stuff. They're paying attention. They're listening. They know that social media is out there. They know it's a threat to people in some instances, but they're also willing to step in and do something about it.
Well, and so, well, I need to wrap this up, but that brings up a good point on the, you know, who's going to really steal your identity? I mean, it does happen. You know, it's 50-something million people on Twitter, so even if 1% of it's happening, I mean, it's thousands of people. But
right.
In the big scheme of things, you've got to be somebody, right? But then if you look at big names, celebrities, you'll see Twitter came out with this not too long ago, these verified accounts. You'll see a little check mark.
Right.
So above their name, it'll be a little blue cloud-looking thing, a white check mark, and it says verified account. So if somebody is famous, you can verify. I mean, you can be assured that you're following, you know, the real person. So, you know, Twitter's recognized that.
Right.
And, but it's, I mean, it's like people, you know, oh, I don't work out at the gym. You know, I don't want to get too bulky. You know, whatever, dude. That's such a lame excuse. You're just lazy. That's all. You know, just lazy.
Yeah.
Just admit it, okay? So if you don't want to get on it because you're lazy, cool. Just say that.
Yeah.
I mean, good grief. So,
well,
anyway,
let's tell people about our webinar tomorrow, because I think if they've listened in on us the last couple of days, they're getting good stuff here, but they can get a lot of good stuff tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern if you go to marketingvirtualseminar.com. You can register for that, and we'll send you an email tomorrow to remind you of the address you need to go to listen in live on the webinar, get your questions answered. That's 1 o'clock Pacific tomorrow, Tuesday, October the 20th, 2009. You get to listen to Wes and me pontificate some more on social media and talk about our many opinionated views and strategies, techniques, and everything else to help you take advantage of social media.
Pontificate. Man, that's another big word.
Oh, yeah. I got to keep up. I mean, what'd you say, embolden? I got to look that up. That's impressive.
I think it's spelled with an E, but, you know, I could be mistaken.
It sounds like it would be spelled with an E, but, you know, I got to look it up. I mean, that's...
I before E, except after C, something like that. I don't
know. Yeah, right. That's right. Wait, see?
All right. So what's the info on that tomorrow? Say that again.
MarketingVirtualSeminar.com, all one word. And
man,
we start at 4 o'clock Eastern on the nose. We'll go for about an hour, maybe a little longer. Going to talk about things such as 7 reasons why people are only 5% of marketers are making money with social media, the 7 most common mistakes that people make with social media. We're also going to talk about 5 common misconceptions of social media. So,
well, that's a
good
looking picture you got on that landing page. Where'd you get that picture taken?
I got that taken at this awesome seminar that I was a participant of out in lovely, glorious Murrieta, California, your homeland.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And so how do I get my picture on that landing page?
Well, I guess we'll have to do one of those little, we'll have to transpose you in there or something like that. Make it look like one of those group pictures, even though it wasn't a group picture.
Yeah, you're good with all that
Photoshop. Yeah, that's right.
Java Pearl stuff.
Yeah, Java Pearl. You got it. Yeah, everybody
all
should
right.
Join us tomorrow. It's live. You get your questions answered. If you want to take your social media campaign to the next level, we'll have some ways to help you do that. And
sounds
be
good.
Sure to join us tomorrow at 4 Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific.
All right, man. Well,
all right,
catching up.
Till tomorrow.
Peace out.
All right, see ya.
Thanks, Roger. Bye.
All right, see ya.